would you like to become a multimillionaire property agent? Shannon McWaters will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Shannon is she's the number one individual agent in the greater Memphis area for 2024 and the number one agent on social media in Tennessee and co-owner of the firm is originally from South Georgia. So Shannon, tell us more about how can someone become a top producing property agent?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, thank you for having me, Lily. And I think the most important thing for people to understand is it doesn't happen quickly or overnight. I've been doing this for 15 years, and you don't start out at the top of your game, and you don't start out at the top of your market. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that I think people don't see. You evolve as an agent and in your career, but in your early days, you may spend time pressure washing driveways and cleaning people's houses and getting things ready for photos. That when you're a lot busier, you don't do it because you don't have time, or then you pay people to do it. I have some really funny stories about prepping people's houses and finding loose teeth in the drawers from a guy who saved all of his teeth from birth and trying to figure out how to clean things up. And I did a lot of hard physical work in my early days, and I still work hard. I just have to allocate my time differently now that I manage so many transactions. But I would say finding a mentor is very important, someone that you will take you on. It's almost like a marriage, and finding someone who will show you the way they do things. There's so many things that you don't learn in real estate school and that a company is just not going to teach you. There has to be someone vested in you that says, I'm willing to show you the things that I know. Then you take those things and you make them your own. If you just copy the mentor, then you're just going to be a replica of them, and there's already one of them. So the real art is taking a lot of different samplings from really great agents and then finding something and a career and a path that is uniquely yours. My little niche was videos before people did videos. So back in 2013, 14, 15, before everybody was making videos on Instagram, you could only post photos. I started making videos that would attract attention. And at the time, some people saw it as not proper. And even some of the people, the agents who have been doing it for a long time, they felt embarrassed by the way I was marketing and said that it wasn't showing agents in a proper light. But I felt like I was onto something and that it was different. And there were plenty of people who responded to it. So I kept going and I kept moving forward. And I have scaled my business, not just from videos and social media, but from being in real estate. We have this preconceived image of someone who wears a blazer and who's a little stuffier and who, you know, from the earlier days. And I started out not myself. I would show up to appointments and try to be a professional version that I thought everyone expected me to be. And as I kind of grew into myself, I just became more comfortable and showed up a little more authentically, and clients started responding to that. But it took me a lot of growing pains to really figure out as an agent and as a woman and as a person who I actually was so that I could be that. And the more I lean into that, the bigger my production seems to grow. And it's hard because we have this ego that makes us think this is what we should be, and this is how we should act, and this is how we should perform. But if you can strip that down and really get to your bare essentials and let people see that, that's usually a quicker path to success.
Thank you. Tell us, what would you have liked someone to teach you about becoming a multimillionaire property agent yourself that you had to learn by yourself and that you are now teaching to other property agents regarding being the best and implementing certain things that perhaps most agents haven't even thought of doing to make sales?
There are a couple of things. One thing is being willing to do things that other people aren't, no matter how much you're selling. I just got off the phone on the way to this meeting, and I was on the phone with a client that has a $150,000 house for me to sell. And I also have $3 million listings. And the client said, I know this is not a big property. And I stopped him and said, I'm so grateful for this listing. And I will put the same effort into this $150,000 listing that I would in a $3 million listing. And so I think we all have to realize business is business, and we're never too good for any type of business. I wish early on people would have taught me, though, someone would have taught me that it's okay to say no, and it's okay to walk away from something that's not serving you. Sometimes we spend a lot of time and energy in the wrong place and with the wrong people and with the wrong client, where it eats up 25% of your day and your time. And if you would step away from something that's not a good fit for you, you might be able to work in three or four other clients that are a good fit, that it flows more smoothly. But as a new agent, you feel like I can't say no to anything or anyone. I think I have learned over the last 15 years, I'm not for everyone, and everyone is not for me. And it's hard to turn business away. But usually when you do that, that space, that hole that you opened up is usually filled pretty quickly with something else.
Thank you. For many years, the last 14 years, I worked a property agent, okay, doing rentals. And from the very first moment that I started doing that, I was willing to do whatever it took. And what I mean by that is going there to clean, to move mattresses, to, you know, add a painting and a duvet cover and flowers and little details that could make such a massive difference. I could really raise the price and rent it really quickly. And that's what all the other agents that were hired for the same company were unwilling to do. And that's why the company was losing hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. And I'm wondering about some of the actions you took, or some fun stories or interesting stories that you have related to what you were willing to do that led to you becoming a property agent, a multimillionaire property agent that other agents could learn from.
What you said, I definitely relate to that. And I'm by no means above still stepping in and moving furniture and cleaning things. And just last week, I pulled up to a listing, and the house was a renovation. It was beautiful. They did such a good job. But I'm there early morning with the photographer, and the only thing they did not get to were windows. The windows were very dirty, and there was going to be a shot in the kitchen that was going to be very important, because this was a renovated kitchen with a huge window over the sink. And so the photographer and I stood in the kitchen and went, oh no, well, this is a completely empty house, and we just have our cars, and it's 7 a.m. So there aren't a lot of things that are open. And so I told him, start in other areas. And I went to several places, couldn't find anything. Finally, I find a gas station that has windshield wiper fluid to clean your windshield. And so I grabbed that and asked them, they had no paper towels. So I asked them if I could have toilet paper out of their bathroom. And so the guy said, okay. So I took a roll of toilet paper, went back to the house. Well, the windows were too high outside and the dirt was outside. So I had to pull my car up and get on the hood of my car and use a gallon of windshield wiper fluid and toilet paper and figure out how to clean these windows at 7 a.m. That's something I'm still willing to do, but probably as your career progressed, you may have realized there are other people who can help you with things, because sometimes the highest and best use of your time is not standing on the hood of your car at 7 a.m. with toilet paper cleaning a window. If I would have known those windows were dirty, I have a company that cleans windows for $125. I would have sent them because I could have been doing, I would have still gotten the windows cleaned, but I didn't necessarily have to do it myself now. I've done a lot of things. I've crawled through doggy doors to get in houses when we couldn't get in, jumped over 8-foot fences in a dress, you name it. I've scaled trash cans to get over a wall to let an appraiser in a house. Very outrageous things right in front of my clients with no shame whatsoever. And again, if tomorrow that situation arises and that's what I need to do, I still do those things. I've just learned how to work a little smarter now, and find people who I'm great at staging. I work with a lot of builders. I make all of their selections. I pick the roof. I pick the flooring. I pick the paint colors. I pick how many windows. I meet with the architect and design the layout of the homes. That's a really good use of my time that somebody else couldn't do. But I could hire someone to clean the windows and do a fine detail on the house while I'm doing things that other people can't do for these clients. So I've learned to manage what things I'm not replaceable on and which things I am replaceable on.
Thank you. So what can someone do to become a multimillionaire property agent? Is there like a blueprint that you would have them do first, second, third, that kind of thing?
So the blueprint is there is no blueprint. If you're looking for a book or a YouTube how-to video, or even someone who's going to say, this is exactly how you do it, you're never going to do it. The greatest and fastest path to success is a lot of little failures. I've tried so many things that were terrible, that didn't work on social media, with marketing strategies, with postcards, with gimmicks, with client appreciation events, with things I might send you to your house, with things I might try to market. I've tried plenty of things that didn't work, and those things probably pushed me to my success faster than locking into something that, oh, this little method seemed to work. It's through all the trials and the failures that you really learn the path of becoming a really good agent. I think when you're afraid to fail and you're afraid to look bad or look silly, I think it's probably what holds people back the most. So the blueprint is you've got to make a lot of mistakes. And if you followed a blueprint, then it's not your individual unique journey. You're just following someone else and what they do. You're just copying another person. In this world, in the real estate market, in social media, in marketing, things are always changing. So if you follow a blueprint and say, this is the way I do things, and you're closed-minded, you're going to fall behind really quickly. Because For example, I took a couple of weeks break, maybe 3 weeks off of social media. I just needed a break. Sometimes we all do. I come back and I'm scrolling through a feed and I'm seeing what's going on. And I feel like with the help of AI and all these tools, that it's a completely different world than when I left 3 weeks ago. So I'm looking at the way I was doing things a month ago and saying, this is slightly outdated. I need a new blueprint. I got to throw the old blueprint away because I have to compete with what's in front of me. So if you get so fixated on this is the path, you're going to be held back. There is no one path. And just because the path works today doesn't mean that next week that path is still going to work. You may have to start completely over and say, how am I going to do this now? Either because people are catching up and they're doing it just like you're doing it now, or because there's a lot of progress that now you're falling behind. And that's with a lot of different things in the way you reach out to clients, in the way you take care of your clients. You always have to change. You have to be willing to say, what I'm doing is not the best way. I think there's a better way.
Thank you. Tell us your top three most successful marketing campaigns or marketing things that you did that led to you becoming a property agent, a multimillionaire property agent.
I would say the first video that I posted And it came full circle. It was probably in 2014. And at the time, we basically just had a few pictures in the MLS that we could use to market a property. And it had to be the first photo had to be the picture of the house. And so I had a house coming up in a neighborhood that had a pool, and it typically you couldn't find a pool in this particular neighborhood. And so I asked some of the more seasoned agents, how do I market a house in Kirby Woods with a pool? And they said, well, I'm going to tell you a little secret, and don't tell anybody because it's kind of against the rules. But you take the first photo, and instead of making it the front of the house, you make it the swimming pool. And it was such a, you know, such a controversial thing at the time because, you know, you weren't allowed to do that. And I said, that's it. That's all I have. So I recruited a couple of my girlfriends to come over, and we pretended to jump the fence and jump in the pool while the seller was gone. And the pool had just been painted and refilled in early April, and it was very, very, very cold. And I posted this on Facebook and waited to see what happened. There was a huge response from clients, from other agents. It was a very positive response. About 6 years later, I went to a listing appointment. And part of my presentation is, you know, my activity on social media. And I was sitting in these people's house in a neighborhood called Colonial Acres. And they said, oh, you do things on social media. One time we saw this video of a girl, and she was selling a house in Kirby Woods, and she jumped over the fence with her friends and jumped in the swimming pool. And I just sat there for a second and I said, that was me. So I pulled up the video and I showed them that was me. And they remembered seeing that from so many years ago. And so even though at the time people weren't doing things that way and it seemed a little silly, it was just reinforcement and confirmation that doing things a little differently is okay. I'm a little quirky. I'm awkward. I'm not smooth. And I stopped trying to cover that up a long time ago. And it seems to work for me, just being who I am, not trying to be what I think people expect a top selling, top producing agent to be. I'm not selling Sunset. I'm not one of those girls. I'm not all buttoned up, and that's okay. I think when you finally offer the world of business what you have to give personally, and if you do that just 1,000%, there's a reward there for that.
Thank you. How can someone discover the line between being themselves and as a property agent and, you know, taking it too far in a way that it could have a backlash on your business when you're doing stuff for social media?
And that's a really good question. And not only do I think of that as far as my overall health of my business, I have 30 other people who work at my company. And so their business is also tied to what I do. So if I'm offending people, if I'm alienating people, I'm not just doing that to myself. I'm doing that to the agents at my company. So I have to always be mindful. And so there is a special place where you're pushing the envelope a little bit, but you don't cross the line. I keep politics personal. I keep a lot of things personal. I look at my business as a business, and my personal views are not transferred to my business life. I save that for my personal life. I can't tell every single person you should never put your personal views out there. But some in my business, when you do that, it could hurt your business long term and people that work for you. So I'm always evaluating when I'm creating something and I'm putting it out there. I'll scroll through my list of clients, and some of them are super, super conservative, or some people have a past that would make them feel a certain way about something. And so I have to scroll that list and think of my audience and say, is this going to be something that's going to trigger someone? And sometimes I say, there are probably going to be some people who are going to not like this. And there's a difference and inflaming someone and doing something that people don't like. It's okay if people don't like me. You don't have to like me. A lot of people that watch me, they don't like me at all. And that's okay, as long as they're watching me. But I'm not doing things that are hurtful, that are inflammatory, that are discriminatory. And you could get yourself banished pretty quickly if you're not careful. And knowing and having the discernment to feel when you're crossing that line. And if I'm not sure, sometimes I'll show it to someone, not someone who's always going to be grumpy about it and say, that's terrible, you should never do that. But not someone who wants me to light the world on fire either. I find a very neutral, balanced person to run it by and say, what do you think about this? And I've had people say, I don't think you can do that. Or you may need to take this part out. I've posted things before and didn't realize I was being offensive until it had already had 10,000 views. And I had to suck it back in real quick and go, wait. I took it down, changed a couple of things and put it back out there again. So I'm very careful, even though it looks very untailored and very unthought out. It doesn't always look thought out what I'm doing, but it is.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
What's that?
Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Instagram is a good way. Shannon McWaters Realtor. I do respond to my messages and I'm always in my messages. And so that's the best way to start the conversation.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.